Hey, you're listening to Blindsight. Let's go. Mental health isn't something to take lightly. It's time to fight. It's time to thrive. Let's do this.
Ho, 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 everybody. Welcome to Blindsight. This is your host, Bill Lundgren, with my co-host and producer, Jonathan Price. And we're here to talk about Christmas and all facets of it. We're actually going to have two parts of it. We're going to talk about this two sides of Christmas, because there really are two sides, that one we have to watch out for and one we have to enjoy. So how are you, Jonathan?
I, as of recording this, it is a beautiful, cold, drizzly morning, and oh, it feels so good. I took the dog out this morning and got some good training in, and the kids went to school, and Ava's class, she's in sixth grade, but they recited the entire Raven poem. Which was amazing. So they had to memorize that for class. So
yeah, that's interesting.
She's got it ready. She did an amazing job. Feeling really, really good. I'm excited. Good. Oh, so I have to tell you this, because we're talking about Christmas. Right. So, and because there's two parts of it. Now, this is going to cause a massive humbug for a lot of people. So I don't apologize for that. So okay. Here's what happened.
Yeah.
You know, we had Halloween. And
yeah.
So my daughter loves Christmas. My son loves Christmas. I love Christmas. And because we're in our own house and we don't have anybody telling us what we can or cannot do, Ava thought it would be a good idea to suggest that we stay up until midnight on Halloween. I was like, why? She said, so that we can put up the Christmas decorations at midnight. Because it'll be November 1st. And I said, Ava, I love you. That's a fantastic idea. We're going to do it. And so we made a breakfast on November 1st. And it was a beautiful day. And we just decorated the tree and had breakfast and kind of spent some time fabulous. As a family. Because there, yeah, we'll get into more of the why. But I just wanted to set that up. So all of you haters who, you know, what about Thanksgiving? What about... I get that. I love Thanksgiving. My pants, my waistline loves Thanksgiving. It's a fantastic time to be alive. Football, turkey,
unless you're a turkey.
Just that's right. Unless you're my grandpa used to sing this song. A turkey sat on a backyard fence and he sang this sad, sad song. Thanksgiving Day is coming soon. Gobble, gobble, gobble. I don't like Thanksgiving Day. He sings that every year. And he's just a funny old coot. So
yeah, anyway, that's wonderful.
I'm all hyped up on coffee. Why don't you talk for a second?
Well, I just, when you were mentioning the Raven, it recalled my childhood home. Back in the suburbs of Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Was just down the street from a place called the General Wayne Inn. And apparently Edgar Allan Poe wrote much of The Raven.
Yeah.
As a guest in the General Wayne Inn just down the street.
Wow.
Which is like, oh, you know, actually seeing the place where it was written.
Yeah.
So I know that poem well, obviously.
That's really cool.
Isn't that cool? And the inn is still there. It was built in back in, well, I know the Quaker Meeting House, where I grew up, was built in 1680.
Whoa.
And the inn was built, I think, about the same time.
That was one of the craziest things when I went to Boston in August to see some of the buildings that are still standing from the American Revolution and where they were, what happened, and their significance. That was incredible. And
here in Denver, we are excited with an old building that was built in 1840.
I know, the Molly Brown House.
Right.
That was That's a cool one. So okay, if you guys are in Denver, you got to go check out Molly Brown downtown. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of a cool house.
It is cool. All my guests that I have visiting me, I take them there. Yeah. Love it. They love it.
Bill, we are so far off topic. We haven't even gotten to the topic yet. How did we do that?
Okay. Well, we're feeling good, which makes it difficult for us to talk about an aspect of Christmas that's not so, that we have to recognize and deal with. And in the second part of the show for next thing, we're going to talk about how to deal with these issues. But there are a couple issues that we have to pay attention to. One is addiction, because one of the problems of the holidays, you know, you can start with Thanksgiving and running all the way through to New Year's, is the amount of drinking that goes on.
Yeah.
And this is particularly pertinent for the blindness community, since blindness community has a 3 times higher rate of alcoholism as compared with the non-disabled population.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of reasons for that, and we can talk about that. But in addition, when we talk about addiction, I also want to put in depression.
Yeah.
Because depression is a separate issue altogether, but it tends to intertwine into the addiction syndrome, since alcohol is a depressant. And even though everybody loves alcohol because it takes away inhibition, but it's still a depressant. And that comes in after, you know, the euphoric effects of alcohol goes away.
Yeah.
And so, and also, some of Christmas for some people is pretty depressing.
Yeah.
Especially if you're older and you don't have family around, or for any other reason, when you're by yourself and all this frivolity and so forth is going on, it's hard for you to get into it.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason to do it, and or at least it doesn't feel like for you. And when you put up the Christmas decorations, you're putting them up by yourself, and you know, and just kind of like, why am I doing this?
Sure.
And that's the downside of Christmas, plus the pressure that expectations are placed on people to get the right gift and the enough gift. I remember as a kid, my two sisters and I would count who got more gifts than the other.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Very competitive. The three of us were very competitive. Oh, you got more gifts. In fact, one time as an adult, I was over visiting my mother, and she had an apartment in the same building as her mother. They were in different floors. And my mother gave me all kinds of gifts there, which I opened up. And my grandmother gave me some gifts there. But she asked me to come to her apartment downstairs before you leave. So I went down there. And she opened the cupboard, and there were all these fine crystal wine glasses. And I was an adult then.
Yeah.
And she said, "These are all yours." So my grandmother won over her daughter in terms of the number of gifts that she was giving me. And I thought, this is absolutely crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's the way my family operated. But I think I'm not alone in having a family that has to compete for the right gift and all. And this is not what Christmas is all about.
Right.
And I think that we need to pay attention. Number one, there are a lot of parties during Christmas. And we have to make some decisions and make the decision before we go to a party.
Yeah.
Are we going to drink? Because as soon as we start drinking, everything goes out the window.
Yeah.
For many people.
Yeah.
And then at the end is the consequences, including the effect of alcohol on your inhibition, which helps you to believe that you can drive.
or a whole host of other negative things that you're not supposed to be doing.
Exactly. Exactly. Plus, you insult people, you know, say things you wouldn't normally say. This is what the bane of the office party.
Sleep with people you normally wouldn't sleep with.
Right. Right. Exactly. And, you know, this is just absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And yet we do it as a ritual every single year, and we promise ourselves we're not going to do it this year, and mm-hmm. then bingo. So next week, when we talk about how do we deal with this, I think this has got to be addressed. But right now, I think I'd like people who are listening to think about, okay, what's my relationship with alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
What is my relationship with this thing called Christmas?
Yeah.
What is it? You know, and I'm going to say something that heretical, and that is, what is Christmas for me? What's in it for me? And why am I doing this? And until we do some soul searching, we're going to get ourselves into trouble.
Man, that's a dangerous question.
Phew. Yeah, absolutely. Because that being self-serving. No, it's self-protecting. I say, what do I want to have come out of this party that I'm going to? Do I really like these people?
You know? Yeah, for sure.
And do I, you know, am I anxious about being there? You know, if people could take an inventory of their inner self, they would be amazed because I've got a party with my boss and my boss's wife and all the people from the office. That is a guarantee to send the anxiety sky high.
Well, I want to ask, because the way you phrased the question has me kind of pausing, and I want to understand more of the reason why you asked the question the way you did. You said, what do I get out of Christmas or the holiday season? Why do you ask it that way?
I ask it that way because, you know, we focus a lot on getting the right gift for other people,
mm-hmm.
doing this right, going to this party to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the reasons that are kind of assumed, and we have to say, wait a minute, I'm asking you to ask yourself, what am I getting out of this?
Mm-hmm.
Because I would like people to go to something because they feel like they're going to enjoy it. They're going to maybe meet some new people. They're mm-hmm. going to cement friendships. And that's something that helps you feel better about you. Now, that sounds selfish, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being selfish.
Right.
But a little self-centered, but a little getting yourself centralized. That is to have a base of what it is that you want to take care of yourself and to get out of this event, whatever it is, gift giving or whatever, mm-hmm. and feel good about it. And if you want to say, I feel good when I give somebody a gift and they love it, That's what I'm saying, is you're going from using yourself as the center point
mm-hmm.
and say, I'm not going to drive myself crazy to get the right gift for somebody. I want to get a gift for Jonathan that I know he will like, mm-hmm. and I will feel pleased to have pleased him. That's
sure.
okay.
Yeah.
But to say, I want to get him a gift because if I don't do it, you know, this is going to happen to me, or he's going to think less of me, or,
sure.
you know, all of this kind of stuff that we put into this negative thinking that we put into even our purchases, you know. Oh, you mean I'm only going to spend this much money now? I think that person is going to not like me unless I spend more money. That's the way some Christmas shoppers think.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have a hard time with, but this is my personality. So this is just me, Jonathan, my personality speaking, I have a really hard time with saying, what do I get out of it? Because I immediately, my brain went to, wow, that's a really selfish statement, or that's a selfish question. The intent and the idea behind it is noble and good. But
yeah, I'm talking about self-care. I'm not talking about selfish. I'm saying self-care.
Exactly. And so I think that's something that people need to understand is, first, when you're asking some of these questions, like, is this situation going to benefit me? Maybe a different way to ask that question. Or
okay,
what is you can still ask the question, what am I getting out of it? Because if you're constantly putting effort and energy into something that is either damaging for your health, your safety, right, your mental well-being, that is an appropriate question to ask. It becomes a more safety. What am I getting out of this? What is happening in these situations?
Right. I'm not saying, what am I getting out of it in that kind of selfish way? I'm saying, What are the benefit to me to go to this party? And this has happened many, many times. You say, no, wait a minute. This is not going to be worth the kind of energy that I put in to be at this party.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's a really an appropriate question. It's a good question to ask. It's really important, like you were saying, to make sure that the intention behind the question that we ask is this a self-pleasing or self-gratifying question? Am I going to get something out of a party or a gift or something? You have to be conscious of how your brain is working when you're making these decisions. You throw alcohol into the mix.
Good point.
When you throw alcohol into the mix, you throw all that out the window anyway. And so now you're trying to make a decision and you're handicapped, you know, and you're handicapped mentally, you're handicapped physically. Like, alcohol does some really crazy things to you. And yes, it is a temporary, it's a temporary antidepressant. I'm going to put it that way. You get
it, the good temporarily feels, it relaxes us.
That's right. And you know, I've run into a lot of people, and I've been guilty of this myself on some occasions, where you get to that level where you're just feeling, a little tingly or a little excited, where your inhibitions are lowered just a little bit to the point where you can start making some very interesting decisions, but you still feel safe. That is an incredibly dangerous place to live because, I think, if I have one more drink, maybe I'll get more excited and maybe I can talk to this girl that's across the room better or whatever.
Your inhibitions get taken away and then the rules you set for yourself go out the window. And that's where the problem is.
Yeah. And I think there's this phenomenon. I don't know if it's a phenomenon, but it's a point of emphasis in the mental health community right now, where we're chasing it's a dopamine addiction, where especially at Christmas time, we're scrolling on our phones more, we're comparing our lives to that of somebody else, whether it be family or friends.
Right.
We're looking at, you know, do I go to church? Should I change life? Should I, you know, change a habit coming up in the new year, which we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks? Should I, all of these should I's, would I, could I, can I, all of these questions start happening. And then you throw on the added pressure of gift giving, hosting, food making, kids, family, politics. We just had an election. And all of this stuff, you're trying to look forward, but you're still looking in the past while you have all the pressures of the present. So tell me how that's a recipe for a good thing. And so when we chase these dopamine hits, we're scrolling on our phones, we're drinking, we're smoking, we're engaging in some sort of inhibitor that prevents us to engaging in daily life, that becomes the escaping thing that we're escaping. Like, I did it. I caught myself yesterday. I'm not kidding. I was talking with somebody on the phone, And instead of engaging with them in a meaningful conversation, I was just letting them talk and I was scrolling through Facebook. I got off the phone feeling so defeated. And
yeah,
I was like, why in the world did I do that? I needed to show up for that person. How dare I do that? And that
But that you see, that's scary hard. For a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are ways that you put a barrier between yourself and other people because you're feeling so anxious. Or ashamed of who you are, in a sense, and that look, you're going to put up these barriers.
Those dopamine hits are fantastic, but they're even more fantastic when they're done the right way. So if you engage in a good conversation, that's a good dopamine hit. Right. If you engage in a romantic exchange with your partner, you know, we talked about sex a couple of weeks ago. If you engage in those romantic behaviors with your partner, that's a dopamine hit. And that's also a serotonin hit. And so you've got to engage some of these and be conscious, really, of, am I doing this to escape something? Is this depression a symptom of something? Is you know, in the blind community, is my blindness, have I just gone blind? Is that something that I'm navigating? Have I been blind since birth? You know, all of these different kinds of questions are appropriate questions to ask. They need to be asked, but they have to be asked in a controlled way, in a careful way, in a loving way.
In a careful way. And ask before you get yourself into the situation.
Oh, yeah.
Because once you're in the situation, it may be too late. Your mind may just not be willing to say, no, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And you see, part of, you know, the rule of thumb is that two drinks for a male, one drink for a woman.
Mm.
That's it. When you go beyond that you're out of social drinking.
Yeah, and and unfortunately, I don't know if this is fortunate or unfortunate, but for me, through experience, wine does more damage to me than whiskey does. Beer does nothing to me. For whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're different alcohol content.
But knowing what your tolerance, I guess, limit is, or what causes more of an effect, is just as important as to knowing your actual intake limit.
Right.
Just keep that in mind.
40 years ago, I got a message. I went into a blackout at a New Year's Eve party.
Yeah.
And I didn't know I was in a blackout till a couple days later. There's someone explained to me something that went on at a party I was at that I had absolutely no memory of.
Wow.
And I said, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
And I haven't had a drink since because that was severe enough for me to say, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And I don't want other people to have to go to that length to make those kinds of decisions. I like people to make those kinds of decisions while they still can.
Mm-hmm.
If they're children of alcoholics, or particularly grandchildren of alcoholics, their risk of alcoholism skyrockets. So they really need to say, okay, I know that I may have a tendency to, and this is how I'm going to manage it.
Yeah.
Before you get into the situation, because your ability to manage is not going to work in the situation.
Right. Because, you know, all of us make really healthy decisions when we're drunk.
That's right. Right. When we have the time and we really think about it and think about what we want to accomplish, if you will, at a party. I want to have people know me as I am and enjoy me. That is a... You know, that it sounds selfish and self-centered, but it certainly also say, you know, when I get drunk, I am not enjoyable.
Right.
I have that information. So maybe I need to, you know, modify my drinking so that people can see the good parts of me and not the evil twin that sometimes pops out when I have too much alcohol.
It's interesting that you bring up the social aspect of it, because I was faced with a friend of mine who's going through a tough time and just wanted to really let loose, but he wanted to let loose in a safe way.
Right.
And he wanted to get almost blackout drunk, but come either have me go over to his house or like do somewhere that we're at a home, either one of our homes. I was like, dude, I personally didn't feel comfortable with that. I understood what he was wanting to go through. And because, I mean, he's been through the ringer, and I'm not going to go into all of the stuff, but
right.
There's a lot of stuff that's around the holidays that can cause a lot of really absolutely. Heavy triggers. But absolutely. I told him, I was like, dude, I love you so much, but I don't want to see you drink into an oblivion. One, right. You could cause some really serious damage to your health. You could right. cause some damage to your kids, and not yeah. like physically, because they weren't there, but you could cause some damage to your psyche, because tomorrow mm-hmm. you're going to wake up and those problems are still going to be there. So I still went over to his house, and he didn't go crazy. Thank goodness. But those stresses,
you set some limits for him, and he respected those limits because he wasn't able to set them for himself.
Yeah, and it's important to have those people in our lives. However, the thing that meant the most to him was the drinking was not the end-all be-all. It was a symptom of a cry for help.
Right.
It was, I need somebody in my corner. I need that coach who's going to help me through these processes and who's just going to be there to listen and to shoot the breeze with and focus into life with. And when I was able to go over there and we hung out and we laughed and we watched movies and had a few drinks, but we were totally safe. And he didn't black out. He didn't get even drunk. And we just had a good, genuine, authentic time together. And that's,
you see, that's what we need. That's what yeah. we need more than anything else, an authentic getting together with someone who cares about us,
mm-hmm.
and we can just be ourselves. There's so often we walk around with a mask that we put on, and particularly men, but women also get mm-hmm. into it, where, you know, we pretend we're okay when we're not.
Yeah.
And that's what's damaging. But it's yep. when we let people know we're not okay, then that's where closeness begins to come. That's a Christmas gift.
Yeah.
To have two people who are friends and close, and we can say what we're feeling, or we can not say, but know that somebody is there for us.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the problems we've had in these during the election campaign, it came very much to the fore that we're so polarized, we can't even talk, you know, some of us can't even talk to some other people.
Yeah.
And that's what's got to change. And alcohol is not going to help.
That's know? Right.
Yeah, or pot or anything like that.
Yep.
We need to be comfortable with the idea of being close. And during COVID, that was impossible for people to be close to one another. So we kind of lost that skill. And I'm afraid that's going to show up in the drinking that's going to happen during this 2024 Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly continue beyond that. But we need closeness and alcohol. Alcoholism is a barrier, and we can't let that happen. And that's what yeah. I'm, you know, when I say, what am I going to get out of this gathering? Am I going to get some closeness, or do I have to put up a mask
mm-hmm.
in order to be approved by everyone?
Yeah.
And that's what I was talking about earlier in terms of, what am I going to get out of this? Am I going to get the closeness that I really... And, you know, men don't like to admit that they want closeness, but they do.
Yeah.
We all do.
Mm-hmm.
That's a human condition of wanting closeness to other men, women, older, younger, whatever. Yep. That closeness
yep.
is what keeps us going. And yet we put a barrier of alcohol to prevent it from happening.
Yeah. That's a dangerous thing.
And we put a mask.
Yeah.
that keeps it from happening. And that's what needs to change.
I think it's important as we kind of start to wrap this up that whatever you guys are going through between, I'm just going to say, November 1st and December 31st are still going to be there come January 1st.
Right.
Just because it's a holiday season. Yeah, there may be things that have happened during a holiday season that are more damaging. You may have been in a car accident due to weather.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You may have been in a fire or, you know, whatever trauma or activity. You know, it's about this time that unfortunately couples are thinking of divorce. And they're just waiting. They're just trying to move through the holidays so that, you know, that first week of January, they can get to a lawyer and file those divorce papers.
Right.
And
so not letting anybody know that that's what's going on.
And so for all these people who are, if you're in these situations and you're struggling with, what do I do next? How do I navigate this? Reach out to a friend. Reach out to a family member, reach out to a counselor, a clergyman, a pastor.
Right.
Whatever it is that you're
hold it within you.
Search. Yeah. Don't hold it in. You've got to search for people who are in your corner, who aren't going to necessarily. And boy, I'm going to stress this. I'm going to push on a really sensitive wound here. Don't search for people who are going to quote unquote validate your feelings. Because sometimes what we need in these situations are people who can say, look, I understand that you're going through this, but you're not thinking clearly. Mm-hmm. And you have to have people in your corner who are going to speak truth and grace into your life.
Right.
Not people who are just going to pander.
Speak truth gracefully.
Right. Mm-hmm. You don't want people who are going to pander and say, oh, absolutely, he's such a blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Oh, I can't believe she did that. She's such a, you know, whatever. Yeah. You don't need people who are going to encourage that bad behavior. You need people who are going to challenge you to become a better you and who are going to challenge you to think clearly and to gain that wisdom and to gain that understanding of why you're going through a particular situation. And so through this season, again, we have that 988 suicide hotline number. So if you're struggling with those, please reach out. You can even reach out to the show. Reach out to me, reach out to Bill, reach out to any of our staff. If you're going through times of struggle, we are here for you. We are a community for you. This is why this show exists. And so, Bill, what are your closing thoughts?
Well, we haven't talked as much about the condition we call depression.
Yeah.
But with the change of season, with the end of the year, all those kinds of things that we've talked about and what's going on and the secrets that you may be holding, it sometimes presents itself in alcoholism, but alcoholism and depression are a dual diagnosis. That is, they're separate things, but they can often be together. And that's when sometimes the professional has to help.
Yeah.
A lot of times a professional has to help to sort that out and to see that you get all the things you need. And part, when we get into New Year's resolutions, one of the things may be, I need to change. And that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want everybody to know that we love you. We care about you. We want the best things for you. And you know, the last couple of months has been a lot of truth shows and a lot of heavy hitting stuff. So I appreciate you sticking with us. If you do have questions for us, we'd love to hear feedback. We'd love to hear questions. 720-712-8856 is our hotline. You can also email us feedback@aftersight.org. Colorado Gives Day is right around the corner, December 10th. And we have an amazing opportunity with some matching grants or some matching donations that are coming in that we want to get, you know, we want to get that match. And so Aftersight functions on donations and we function on grants and we can't do this show without you guys. And so if you like this content, if you want to hear more of our stories, if you want more amazing guests, let us know by supporting us and keeping this station and these shows going, because you guys don't realize it, but this show is an international show. And we've got people listening from literally all over the world. And it's amazing. And we have people in India, in Germany, in Russia. We have in England and in Canada and Mexico and all these amazing places. We can't reach them if we don't have those donation dollars. Right. So we appreciate you. Bill, any other things to add as we wrap up?
Well, I'm now intimidated by you mentioning being worldwide. As opposed
no, I shouldn't have done that.
But no, next week we'll be talking about some of the steps, and we've mentioned some of the steps so far, and some of the ways that you can make, help yourself make Christmas meaningful and wonderful for you and the people that you love.
I love it.
Yeah, and because we can do it.
Yeah.
It just takes a little, paying attention. And we look forward to having you join us for the next episode to talk about the positives. And that's what we're going to aim for.